Now to the book of Genesis, in chapter 21, page 31 in your Scofield Bible. Chapter 21 of Genesis, starting with the 12th verse, we'll read through verse 20. We'll read these verses responsively. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread, and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child was sent her, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice, and wept. And the God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise up, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. Let's finish together on verse 20. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And the 17th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Let's pray. Father, you have something in mind for us tonight, something that's just a bit different than any other service ever held in this auditorium through the years. We should be attentive to what you've prepared, and you've prepared something that you've given our preacher. He likewise has prepared. He's heard from thee, and we need to hear from thee likewise. You've chosen him as a vessel to be that means by which we hear from thee tonight. Help us, O Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over 63,000 times I've stood behind pulpits on platforms across America and around the world and here to preach. The sermon I'm going to preach tonight probably is one that is not like any I've preached before. I want to speak tonight on the subject, God hears what you don't say. Without your turning to it, I'm going to read my text verse. It says, And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. I do not know exactly how I'm going to bring this message. It's most unique, and I'm not sure exactly how it'll be delivered. But I want to sort of open my heart to you for a while tonight and talk to you a little bit about what I think is what this church is really all about. Our Heavenly Father, help me as I speak tonight, and help our dear people as they listen, and may a new awareness of the importance of certain groups of people rise up in our breasts tonight. Bless the service to thine honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I said thy title is, God Hears What You Don't Say. This sermon tonight and my subject has nothing to do with prayer. Has nothing to do with praise. It has nothing to do with thanksgiving. It has nothing to do with confession.
For that matter, it has nothing to do with talking to God at all. I'm not talking tonight about God hearing our prayers or hearing our praise. Likewise, it has nothing to do with talking to anyone else. It is not God hearing us talk to someone else. In fact, it has nothing to do with talking. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, God says, I heard their cry. And the word cry there means their weeping. I heard their weeping. In Exodus 2:24, God heard their groaning. In Acts 6 and verse 5, I have heard their groaning. In Acts 7 and verse 34, I have heard their groaning. In Psalm 6:9, the Lord heard my cry. Talking about weeping, if you please. In Genesis 16 and 11, this is a very interesting statement. The Lord hath heard thy affliction. And that word affliction there could be translated sighing. It means heard the evidence, a manifestation of your affliction. The Lord heard thy sighing, if you please. In Psalm 12:5, it tells us that God hears the sigh of the needy. Now, tonight, I want to give you two names whom God heard say nothing. The story, and you'll have to listen just a few moments as I lay the foundation for the message. The story is about Abraham and his wife Sarah, to whom God had promised a baby. They're getting way up in years now. No baby's come. Abraham and Sarah had hired a little gal named Hagar down in Egypt. She's an Egyptian gal. When they came back to Canaan, it's an old story, they brought her with them. And Sarah said to Abraham, it looks like I can't have a child by you. She said, why don't you try to let Hagar have a child by you? We're talking about adultery here. We're talking about something that's wrong, something that's sinful. But why don't you let her try to give birth to your child? And, of course, you know the story, how that Ishmael was born. Are you listening to me? Ishmael was born of Hagar, Abraham's illegitimate son, if you please. And Sarah, after the child was born, became so jealous of the fact that Hagar had a child and she didn't. And make a long story short, which is unusual for me, Sarah said to Abraham, you got to kick that gal out of the house, and that baby's going to go too. So what happened was that Hagar had to take the baby. Abraham gave Hagar some bread and some water, and Hagar had to leave the house. Now, understand, she was a sinful lady. Understand that Ishmael was an illegitimate child. Understand that. We're not talking about bragging on unrighteousness at all. So they leave the house. The Bible says, and I'm quoting a few little statements from the Bible. Bible says that the time came when the bottle was spent. No water in the bottle. The food was gone also. So Hagar walks over and puts the child under a shrub, the Bible says, and then she walks a little bit away, and she says, Lord, I can't stand to see the child die. That little child, Hagar, thought the child was going to starve to death, and this child would have starved to death. The Bible said that the angel, I love this, the angel of the Lord found her in the wilderness. I like that. Angel of the Lord came and found her in the wilderness, and then it says that the angel of the Lord saw her, and God said, I have heard thy sighing. He said to Hagar, I heard that, said God. And the Lord said to the child, or said concerning the child, God heard the voice of the lad. Now, in this little story, you find basically the people with whom I spent most of my time in the last going on 40 years. This is the crowd that I spent my time with trying to help. For in this little lady, Hagar, you find basically what the First Baptist Church of Hammond is all about. So this scene represents the people with whom I spent most of my time. Now, what cry did God hear? Not talking about a prayer now. Not talking about any words. I'm talking about groaning. I'm talking about sighing. God heard the cry. Number one, he heard the cry of the poor. For in this story, Hagar was poor. Her food was gone. The water was gone. The Bible says the bottle was spent. And here's a gal that had no house. She had no food. She had no money. She had no bread. She had no water. She had no nice clothing. She had no job. And she had no family. But the Bible says God heard her sighing. I've got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. He still hears the sighing of the poor. And one reason why God has blessed this church has not forgotten the poor. God has placed us here in this great Chicago area uniquely with a purpose. And that purpose is, to reach everybody. But include the poor in everybody. I was sitting Wednesday afternoon in Brother Young's office at the college. His office is in the same room where my mother went to heaven. I was sitting there in his office and looked over just to the right, over his left shoulder over here as he was facing me, and I saw the very spot where I stood by my mother's bed in 1984, September 19. I relived that night when my mother looked at me and said, "Son, I want you to make me two promises. Number one, I want you to preach my funeral. Number two, I want you to promise me you'll not cancel any speaking engagement between my death and the funeral service." I relived my mother. I saw little shacks and outhouses where we lived. I saw Mama leave at 4:00 in the morning to catch the Trinity Heights streetcar so she could take the streetcar over to Jefferson Street and change to the Sunset streetcar so she could transfer to the Elmwood bus so she could ride to Elmwood, going to work in the morning, leaving at 4:00. Trinity High streetcar, transferred to the Sunset streetcar, transferred to the Elmwood bus, and went to the Elmwood school. And I saw in my mind that 4:00 every morning. I saw her home at 7:00 at night, after having worked all day long in behind the hot steam table of a public school. I saw her when she was 40 years of age, as I sat there in his office. I looked over. And I saw my mother when she was 40 years of age. Her teeth were as rotten. They looked like they'd been carved out of a hunk of coal. They're as black as a piece of coal would be. I saw my little mother at age 40. I saw her bloody hands from working to support her son. I saw her put me to bed early at night again and again because we had no food to eat and there's no supper in the house. And mother put me to bed at 4:00 and had not enough cover during a cold night. She'd take the cushions off the sofa and put those cushions on my feet to keep us warm. I saw that as I sat in his office, I saw mother going down the railroad track where some mustard greens were growing wild beside the railroad track. And I saw my mother picking mustard greens so she could come home and prepare something for her boy to eat. I saw my mother, as I sat out there, I saw my mother going beside the railroad tracks trying to find Coke bottles and cold drink bottles so she could go down to the store and sell them for 2 cents a piece so she could get some food. I know what it's like, and I want you to know something. I made God a promise years ago I would not forget the poor. And God in heaven has promised a special blessing on those people that do not forget the poor. I saw my mother begging a quarter from a lady nearby so she could buy some food. I saw my mother waiting for Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy to bring us some old clothes over. We go through the clothes. But I want you to know, not one time did my mother sigh at 4:00 in the morning for what the Heavenly Father heard her sigh. Not one time did she groan for what the Heavenly Father heard her groan. And I'd like to say tonight to those of you that would be called poor, I'd like to say tonight, God not only hears your prayer, God hears your sigh. God hears your groan. He heard the sigh and the groan of this poor little gal and her poor son. I said, God hears the cry of the poor. I reckon if God hears the cry of the poor, he hears your cry too. I reckon God hears your sighing. God not only hears your prayer, he hears your groans, he hears your sighs. He hears your weeping and sees your tears. Our God is moved with compassion. That isn't all, as I see this little lad. And can you picture it for a few moments? Can you see a mother? Oh, yes, I know she's an adulteress. Oh, yes, I know this little baby is born out of wedlock. But God loved that little baby as much as he loves your little baby in the nursery tonight. Can you see that mother with that little baby? And she can't feed it. The food's gone. And the water's gone. And she placed her baby over here under a shrub and walks away and turns her eyes and says, "I can't even stand to look. My child's going to die, and I can't stand it." Not only did God hear the cry of the poor, but God also heard the cry of the unwed mother. God heard the cry when she heard the unwanted news that she was pregnant. God heard her sigh and groan when the morning sickness came. And God heard her during her waiting alone with no husband. And before you get too rough on these little gals that are pregnant outside wedlock, and God knows, brother, I want to fight the sin as much as I can and tell you young people, you ought to walk to this altar to get married and have your first kiss after you pronounce husband and wife. And before you sin, I'm going to holler and tell you what a dirty crook the devil is and scoff and spit and kick over microphones and say, you live a clean life and don't you listen to the dirty lies of the devil. But once you've succumbed, you're still my people. God heard them groan during her waiting alone, during the lonely visits to the doctor, during the times of embarrassment. God heard her groan. During her lonely travail, during painful childbirth, and during caring for an infant without a father, God heard her groan. I've heard those cries in my office, cries of remorse, cries of loneliness, cries of pain, cries of fear, cries of dread. Old story, can I forget that morning when I was in the old building over here, the one that burned, finished the service. We're talking about probably 38 years ago. A lady walked down the center aisle, motioned for me. I could tell you her last name, but I will not. And I said, ma'am, what is it? And she said, Pastor Hiles, you don't know me, but my name is, and she told me her name, and she said, as you can tell, I'm expecting a baby. She said, I already have an illegitimate child that I'm rearing. Maybe she said two, I'm not sure, but she had at least one. But she said, the one I'm carrying now, I can't afford another one. Listen carefully to me, could you find a home for my unborn baby? So happened, I knew a family in Texas that couldn't have children. And I called them and said, would you like to have a baby? And you have to pay the hospital bill and the doctor bill. And they came up. I'll never forget that day over at St. Catherine's Hospital. And that little gal, I'm not talking about a 40-year-old woman now. I'm talking about a 25-year-old young lady. She rolled her down in the hospital. She rolled down in a wheelchair. And she had that precious, one of the most beautiful little boys you ever saw. And everybody knows that boys are more beautiful than girls are. Until they get older. But what a precious child. And I saw that little lady roll. The law was then that the mother had to actually give the baby to the foster mother, the adopting mother. And I saw that little lady roll down the wheelchair and little baby in her arms. She had just gone to the jaws of death to give birth to. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This old sin, curse, playboy philosophy, permissive society. I mean, along with that comes a heap of broken hearts and folks that need somebody to care for them. And I remember how she took that little baby and she gritted at her teeth and handed that little baby from her own flesh to that little lady from Texas. And I saw her as she rolled her out of the car, and I helped her get in the car, and I saw her wave goodbye to the little baby she's never seen. And I asked her, I said, how do you feel? She said to me, I've been preparing for 9 months for this moment. By the way, one of the sweetest stories in the world. That little baby grew to be a fine young man. And that fine young man decided to come to Hiles Anderson College. And that little illegitimate child that I saw given, that little child came to Hiles Anderson College and went for 4 years and graduated from Hiles Anderson College. And that little baby tonight is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, you'd have kicked him out. God heard the cry of this little fatherless, illegitimate child. Can I ever forget a little lady came to my office and said, Brother Howells, I'm going to break your heart. And it did. She said, Brother Howells, I'm pregnant and I'm not married. She's a teenage girl, one of our own girls here. Every Saturday afternoon, I met with her 15 minutes in the waiting room. Every Saturday afternoon, I'd cut up with her. I'd say, you're getting so big. The Chicago Bears, won't you play left tackle on the defensive team? And I even helped to buy her some maternity clothes. So she, because nobody cared about her. She had nobody to care. And then she gave birth to the baby, and the baby was given away. And by the way, let me say this, and I don't care if you like this or not. Every illegitimate child ought to be given to a Christian mother and father to rear that child and placed up for adoption. If you don't agree with that, then you pastor for 50 years, and you tell me then what you believe when you see what happens. She came by my office about 3 years later. Often she did. I'll never forget that one day. She said, "Brother Hiles, have you seen my baby lately?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Is she blonde, brunette? What color hair does she have?" And I told her. And I said, "Is she a good girl?" And I told her. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me tonight. God heard the cry of that precious little girl. And she stood outside my office door. Yes, she did wrong. Yes, she sinned. But bless God, our Savior's in the business of salvaging people like that. God heard her cry outside my office door, and she said, "Is she blonde? Is she healthy? Is she a good girl?" Not only did God hear the cry, when that little baby, Ishmael, little boy Ishmael, his mother walked away, left him under a shrub, and water's gone, food, bread's gone, and she says, "I can't stand to see him die," and she turns the other way. The Bible says God heard her sighing, and God heard the voice of the lad. That isn't all. It's not only God hearing the voice of an unwed mother, and God hearing the voice of the poor, but in this little story, it's God hearing the voice of an illegitimate child. He hears the cry of the illegitimate child. He hears the first cry at birth without a proud daddy. He hears the cry during infancy when cometh the first awareness of the absence of a father or a male. He hears the cry of that illegitimate child when couples come to the nursery to get all but him. He hears the cry of that child at fatherless birthday parties. And before you go out and get in lover's lane somewhere and rustle an unholy skirt, you better listen to me. There's a real life of heartache and heartbreak down the road, and what you better do is quit listening to the dirty philosophy and the Playboy magazine philosophy and the soap operas and all the rest of it. You better listen to that book for a change, because down the road there's heartache. And God heard the cry at the vacant spot at the Thanksgiving table when the child realized there was no daddy there. And God heard the cry when just mom and him were there on Christmas morning. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. And God heard the cry of the first day in school when they asked his father's name and he didn't even know. And God heard the cry when the PTA meeting time came and mama came alone and he had no daddy there. And God heard the cry at the ball games without dad, and the cry looking at other children with their parents together at church and trying to reconcile his own birthday with mother's anniversary. And the day he finds out that he is illegitimate, I've sat in my office and absolutely with a mom sitting right here had to tell some little child, "You were born outside wedlock. You're an illegitimate child." And I've heard the scream of the child, "Let me tell you, the devil's a dirty, stinking liar. Don't you believe him? The wages of sin is death, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Young people, stay clean, stay pure. Save yourself for the one that God gives you at the altar. And the day when, the nights when he wonders where his daddy is, or who his daddy is, I sit down so often with an illegitimate child that's grown just a few weeks, months ago. A child that I helped find a family for. That child is now an adult, probably 20 years of age. He came to me and said, "Brother Hiles, I'd like to know who my mother is." Can you imagine that? Grown, "I'd like to know who my mother is." Every once in a while, somebody comes to our church and says, "I just don't believe in all that hollering." If you saw what I saw, you'd want to holler. You'd want to cry loud and spare not and remind people of the heartbreak and heartache that's down the road. And I help find, help locate the mother of that grown man whom I had placed, help find a home for adoption years and years ago. God hears the cry. He hears the cry on graduation day when there's no daddy there. He hears the cry at the wedding when there's no daddy there. I'm saying God heard the cry that day when Hagar placed that little baby beneath a shrub, turned to walk away and says, I can't stand to see my baby boy die. God heard her affliction, heard her sighing, and God heard the cry of that little boy. Let me tell you tonight, young people, those of you that wonder if and where your daddy is, and you wonder why you can't have a daddy who sings in the choirs, on the deacon board, teaches Sunday school, or sits with his family in church, let me tell you, young people, God hears your cry just like he hears my cry, and just like he hears the cry of the inner circle First Baptist Church people. And God, when that little scene here with the little bush shrub over here, and the little boy in the shrub, and no water and no bread, and the mother turns, so God, she can't stand to see her son die. God heard the cry that night of the poor. And God heard the cry of the unwed mother. And God heard the cry of the illegitimate child. Let me say also, it was the cry of a minority race. I'm not here to talk to you tonight about the race problem. I have my own convictions about the race problem. I'm not here tonight to talk to you whether integration, segregation, interracial marriage. That's not my subject right now. My subject right now is that God hears the cry of the little black boy too. And God hears the cry of the little fellow that's out in the ghettos, the minority race. I recall when I was a boy, I'd get on the bus or the streetcar. Used to call the one car train called the streetcar. And down in Texas, you wouldn't believe this, some of you, but they had a little sign right here that would have on one side white and the other side say colored. And the black folks had to sit behind that sign that said colored, and the white folks sat up in the front of the bus or the streetcar. And we'd get up there in the front of the streetcar, and then the colored folks would get on, the black folks would get on, they'd have to come by us. And I wondered, if we get on first, why don't we sit the back? Or if they get on last, why don't they sit at the front? Or let them get on first, or have a door in the back or something? Why have they got? Why do we make them rub past us? And that streetcar, and please don't think I'm being unkind tonight, I'm being kind to you black people. It went through what we call Niggertown. I wish you could have seen it. Little hovels, no houses, just little shanties. Couldn't even stand up in them. You remember Niggertown, the Trinity High streetcar went down Oak Cliff. But you know what? In that little, quote, Niggertown, we called it, there was a little boy growing up there. His name was Ernie Banks. Ernie Banks became the star of the Chicago Cubs. He's known tonight as Mr. Cub, and is in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. I used to wonder. The cafe signs would say, whites only. The bus station had a white section and a colored section. And at ball games, you had a white section and a colored section. And at train stations and bus stations, a white section and a colored section. And the only jobs the colored folks could get were porters and shine boys and servants and yard men. Now, I'm not here to talk about whether that's good or bad. I'm not here for that. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the blackest little boy in the ghetto of Chicago, God hears him just like he hears your little child in the nursery tonight. This little gal, this little God, that day or that night, when this little lady placed her little child over against under a shrub and turned to walk away, food was gone and the water was gone, and she said, I can't stand to see my child die. I want you to know tonight that the same God that created the prince in the palace, the same God loved that little boy there. And he heard the cry of that little boy. I recall when I used to see how they were treated, I surrendered my life to go to Africa as a missionary. This I also will tell you that the night we got married, I was also licensed to preach and made an announcement to my church. I'm volunteering if God will let me to go to Africa as a missionary. I'm not, as I say tonight, I'm not interested in the segregation integration problem. But I'm interested in one thing and one thing only, and that is that God heard the cry of that little boy who was poor, who was illegitimate, whose mother was a harlot and an unwed mother, and he was a minority race. And God hears your cry tonight and your sigh and your groan tonight. That isn't all. God heard the cry of an illegitimate child, an unwed mother. He heard the cry of poverty. He heard the cry of a minority race. But it was a homeless cry he heard too. They had no home. A homeless cry. A bridge for a ceiling, so many have tonight. Concrete for floor. Cardboard for walls. No bed in which to rest. No chair in which to lounge. No table at which to eat. No sink or lavatory for bathroom. No central heat or air conditioning. No closet for clothing. And no clothing for a closet. And no sofa or dresser or chairs or dishes or silverware. No car. No family. No Christmas. No going to a birthday celebration. No mail. No newspaper. No radio. No address or zip code. No I love yous. No place and no hope. No dreams and no future. No friends and no family. Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a fellow tonight whose daddy again and again slept on concrete as a street person, but bless God, there's not a single person on Warm Market Drive tonight but what God hears their groan. Years ago, Miss Hiles was out preaching. She does it at home and also around the country some. But she was out speaking somewhere and I was alone. And of course, while she's gone, I put chairs against the doors. Take my hearing aids out so I can't hear the burglars when they try to get in. But I did something. I got in my car and drove down to Lower Wacker Drive one cold night. It was about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I went from little shelter, just people sleeping on the concrete, trying to keep warm. And I spent about an hour just talking to those people. And I walked away, and this is what I said. They're people just like me. But for the grace of God, there I sleep. I walk out Sunday mornings after the service. Sometimes these street people are lined up there waiting to get baptized. And you security guards will vouch for this. I shake hands with every one of them. And I tell them I'm glad to see them. I'll call them sir. And tell them I'm glad to see them. Why? Because the Heavenly Father loves them as much as He loves you and me. It was the cry that night when little Hagar walked away from Ishmael. Put him under a shrub, walked away, and she said, no more food, no more water. I can't stand to see him die. God heard her sigh. And God heard the voice of the child. He heard the voice that night of poverty. He heard the voice of an unwed mother. He heard the voice of an illegitimate child. He heard the voice of a minority race. He also heard the voice of a homeless cry. Next, in that little story, God heard the voice of the cry of the single parent. That's what she was. God heard the cry. God hears the cry when he or she leaves and breaks up the marriage. He hears the cry, when the children leave with him. He hears the cry or leave with her. He hears the cry of the mother who's left to rear a child alone. He hears the cry of the mother who must be a mother and a father. He hears the cry when you must go to work and leave the children at home or with the babysitter. He hears the cry when you come home from work to find a dirty house that must be cleaned and a damper of clothes that must be washed and a sink full of dishes that must be washed. He hears your groan when going to bed alone without little hope of things getting better. He hears the cry with no money for Christmas for the children, a lonely Thanksgiving, not being able to buy children's school clothes, seeing others with happy marriages, seeing children grow up, and you see the loneliness of life approaching
and seeing the children leave the altar for their honeymoon, and you're left alone with a future to live, and you wonder, would it be a rest home, a lonely life? What will it be like? God hears your cry tonight of the single parent. My mama, I'll never forget when I went off to the army. It was the last night at home. Mama came in. And I said, as I always said, though I was 18 years of age, I said, Mommy, pray me. And my mommy knelt. She sat down and I knelt at her knees, and I said, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Bless Mommy, Daddy, Earlene, Jack, and everybody, make me a good little boy. Amen. My mother held the Bible up as she always did and said, son, this is the word of God. And I had to say it three times. 18 years old, but unashamedly. She said, son, Jesus is the Son of God. I had to say it three times, and Mama warned me. She said, son, tomorrow you leave for the armed forces. I want you to know that whiskey is bad. And she took a whiskey ad and tore it up and stopped it like that and said, now you stop it and say it's bad. And then here's what she said before I went to bed. She said, son, I held Hazel in my arms, or Lorraine in my arms. She was afflicted, died when she was 7. She's gone. I held Hazel in my arms, my second little child, and she died when she was 7. And she's gone. I held Earlene in my arms, but Earlene, when she got married, she was gone. She said, I held your daddy in my arms, but he's gone. And she said, then Jack, I've held you in my arms for 18 years. Now you're leaving. She said, my arms are empty again. And God heard that sigh. He heard the groan at night. When God looked down and saw that little baby under the shrub and the mother walking away, leaving that baby to die and can't face it to see the baby die. God heard the groan of poverty. He heard the groan of a minority race. He heard the groan of an unwed mother. He heard the groan of an illegitimate child. He heard the groan of a homeless one. He heard the groan of a single parent. He also heard something else, the cry of the servant. For the Bible says that Hagar was a handmaiden, and that word handmaiden is the lowest term on the scale of servitude. I mean, that word was used about her being a handmaiden, the lowest scale on all the lowest position on all the scale of servitude. God hears the groan of the weary laborer in the steel mill. God hears the groan of the lady who cleans the houses for others. God hears the groan of the working mother at 9 p.m. still doing housework. God hears the groan of the custodian at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, after having worked all night because there was a wedding yesterday in the church. God hears the groan of the dishwasher at a restaurant trying to see through the steam. God hears the groan of the maid who cleans the hotel room. About a month ago, I was staying in a hotel room, and as I left, there's a maid cleaning next to the room next to me. She came out in the hallway, and I said, you're the greatest person here. She said, what? I said, you're the greatest person here, because the Bible says the servant is greatest of all. I told her about the Savior, and she came to Christ. But God hears the groan of every little maid in the hotel room. Every college man trudging home at midnight to get up early in the morning. He goes to college, and from college he goes to work and works most of the night. He hears the groan of the weary missionary coming back from the jungle where he took the message of hope to people that would never have heard without him. It was the cry of the sinner. God heard the cry of the servant. He heard the cry of the poor. He heard the cry of the minority race. He heard the cry of the illegitimate child. He heard the cry of the unwed mother. He heard the cry of the single parent. He heard the cry of the servant. And lastly, and I'm so glad about this, he heard the cry of the sinner. He heard the cry of the hangover after a night of sin and the bitter taste of sin's dregs.
and the one bound by prison bars, and bound by his lust for narcotics, and the one collecting sin's wages, and the one who's reached the bottom. God heard the cry of that prodigal son in the hog pen when he said, I'll rise and go to my father. And God hears your cry tonight. If you're a sinner, walk down this aisle. Put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. God hears your cry tonight. Now, somewhere along the trail tonight, some of you found yourself. We talked about you somewhere tonight. This is the crowd I've spent my life with for the last almost 40 years. But maybe you weren't mentioned. It doesn't matter. If you have a burden tonight, God hears your sigh. He hears your groan. Those of you to whom I preached this morning, a rock on one side, a rock on the other side, you don't know what to do. Oh, God hears that. He hears that. He hears what you don't even say. He hears your sigh. He hears your groan. He hears your weeping. He hears your yawn. One last story and I'm through. When I got back out of the service, I went to work laying oak floor with my daddy. My dad and I had never been close. He didn't live with us at home much of the time, and I didn't know him much, and he didn't know me much. He didn't have time for me. But I got out of the paratroopers, and Dad was proud of me because I became a paratrooper. He was shocked I could become a paratrooper. He didn't know what a hunk of man I am. But he was proud of me because I was a paratrooper. And he began to brag on me. My son's a paratrooper. He runs 10 miles every day. He does 90 push-ups with a full field pack on his back. He's proud of me. I went to work with him. One day it was 109 degrees. I don't mean comfort index, a discomfort. I mean 109 to the thermometer in Texas, Dallas. I was laying floor in one bedroom, and Dad was in the other bedroom of a new house. He was laying floor. He was up past 60 now. And the dregs of sin were getting bitter for him to taste. And his body was worn. He died at 62 with a heart attack, drank himself to death. I heard a hammer hit the floor in the bedroom next to where I was laying floor. And I heard my dad groan. And I heard him cry. I mean, weep. I've never seen that before, heard that before. And I heard my daddy say, I wish I'd gotten an education. I wish I'd gotten an education. You know, my Heavenly Father heard that old drunk sigh that day. My Heavenly Father heard him when he wept that day. When he said, I wish I'd have gotten an education. God heard what he said. All the things I've said tonight are just to let you know that God not only hears what you say, but God hears your tears. He hears your weeping. He hears your sighing. He hears your crying. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares for the... He hears the cry of the poor. He hears the cry of the minority race. He hears the cry of the unwed mother. He hears the cry of the illegitimate child. He hears the cry of the single parent. He hears the cry of the sinner. He hears the cry, your cry and mine. Our Heavenly Father, it's been a strange sermon. Not really like me on a Sunday night, but I can hardly think of that little mother and that little child. Yeah, illegitimate. Yeah, unwed mother.